This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for hanging out, tuning in, playing along with us. You can be a part, 855-752-4842. Jazzed as hell, Harvey K. He's our favorite Delano Democrat. He's a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, it's always a pleasure. Welcome back.
This is the highlight of my Mondays.
Monday? Well, the whole week, man.
At least absolutely. But if I think about it like that, then I long for the Mondays.
Longing. I love it. Harvey and I will text each other throughout the week. And so we always have lots and lots to talk about, Harvey. But before we get into some of the executive orders and the actions of this administration, as we were preparing for the show today, he asked, where are the Dems? What are the Dems doing? And I threw this one out there from the Washington Post. Democrats flipped the script, eyeing debt limit to block Trump's agenda. Now, generally, that'd be the Republicans who would hold, you know, that kind of leverage over the Democrats. And apparently there's some folks that are thinking that, well, now is the time for the Dems to maybe hold that over the Republicans. Obviously, that could be calamitous, but my understanding, hell, man, the Republicans are telling America there's going to be a little pain. You're just going to have to deal with it. There might be some inflation. Maybe coffee's going to go up. Eggs aren't going down. So, you know, too bad, so sad, get over it. I don't think the Dems should necessarily be as concerned. And I say that, of course, people are concerned when things are hard for people. I get that. But that's not of the Democrats' making. This is a Republican administration. Republicans can get things done if they get the votes and get things happening. They're not gonna. What's your thought of the Democratic Party, you know, standing up, be it the debt ceiling or some other major piece of legislation that the Republicans are gonna need those Dems on? I think they should play super, super, super hardball. Gloves off, Harvey K. That's what I say.
Well, you should point out that when you brought up that question of the Dems playing hardball by blocking some, you know,
the debt limit. Yeah.
The debt limit. That was instigated by my saying, well, where are the Democrats?
Yes. Okay. Where are the Democrats?
I'm stupid. I should have checked how many Democrats would have to cross the aisle to enable the Republicans to
get something done. I think if the Republicans, given that it's a budgetary issue, that the Republicans all are in unison, they could get it done. But there's those hardcore Republicans who have never, ever voted for a debt ceiling raise. Yeah, so if you assume some of those cats are never going to do it anyway, they have to come to the Democrats to get anything done in that regard.
You mean lifting, the hardcore guys wouldn't lift the debt, or men and women would lift it. Yeah, I mean, what do I think of it? I think anything that shows the Democrats are there and trying in some way to make a difference over the horizon in people's lives is a good idea. Of course, I can imagine, in one sense, I can imagine Trump saying, okay, yeah, well, we'll shut the government. But as you and I have already observed, shutting the government is not a popular thing to do.
Yeah, lots of Republicans won't get their Social Security checks, Harvey K. That's not going to, you know, imbibe them to support this party, if that's the case.
Oh, wait a minute. I get Social Security checks. Hold on a second. No, but seriously, it is striking. The Democrats should stand up and make life difficult for the Republicans.
Yes, I agree.
However, I hope they're smart enough, really smart enough, and dynamic enough to get a message out as to why they're doing it. Now, we're not just doing this to obstruct government. We're not just doing this basically to embarrass the Republicans. We're doing this because we have a vision and an agenda, and if we don't start challenging the Republicans, think of the nightmares that will ensue from all of these executive orders. I will say this was interesting to me, that when FDR, I always go back to FDR. Yeah, FDR took power in 1933 when he was inaugurated. The first 100 days became legendary, not just famous, but legendary for the kinds of initiatives that were launched. But they were launched by way of congressional votes. They were legislated. Okay? We now have, and this is what makes it seem so horrific, we now have this slew of executive orders that have come out during this past week, which range from both the most serious kinds of things, like challenging the Constitution on birthright citizenship, rounding up people to deport them, I mean, serious stuff,
yeah,
as well as, to me, seriously silly things, such as the Gulf of what? America? Yeah. Okay, I mean, that's ridiculous. Our allies, nobody in the rest of the world is going to make that change in their vocabulary, right, in their atlases or otherwise. And there are some other silly things, but too much of it is very, very serious. So it's important for the Democrats to start making noise about the fact these are not legislative things,
right,
legislated things. These are executive orders that threaten the very meaning of democracy. I mean, they should really get out there and be... They've got to start pitching why.
Yeah, and certainly. Folks are listening to the Dom Salve Show. That's Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. As it pertains to the debt ceiling fight, I think that's pretty easy. Well, you know, the only reason Republicans want to raise the debt ceiling is so they can fund the tax breaks for the wealthy. We want to make sure that, you know, that Social Security and Medicare are viable and for the future. That's, you know, and angle it and put it in that respect, because come on, man, there are way more of us than them, Harvey. I don't understand how this is so lopsided. The many over the money, man. The many can always beat the money if they, you know, speak with one voice.
Yeah, no, and you're right. I mean, what I'm getting at is they need to be already making that message heard. And right now, I mean, the only thing people know right now about the Democrats, if they know anything at all, is the fact that they've got this inside the party election going on, which seems to be coming down to the head of the Democratic Party here in Wisconsin, right?
Right.
Ben Wickler.
Wickler.
Mm-hmm. Versus Ken Martin, the head of the
Minnesota.
It's as if Wisconsin's playing Minnesota in that. What is the award? The Paul Bunyan?
Oh, yeah, the Axe. They play for the Axe.
yeah. So I mean, as long as we can get the message out there as to why we're doing this, because you know the Republicans have a very, very loud megaphone that they're going to be shouting. Look, these are the obstructionists. And they're going to depend on people not remembering who their obstructionists have been all these years.
Well, isn't that part of the fire hose of activity, is to keep people bouncing side to side, one foot to the other, trying to figure out what's going on? It's just a deluge of BS. In the meantime, they're you know, we're jumping around. They got their hands in our pockets, Harvey Kay.
It's funny. As you said that, I imagined the emoji on my phone that would fit that image. And there's one that where our heads are banged. It's like a head is going back and forth on the neck. And one would have to sort of press it like 100 times to really get to the image of Americans' heads bouncing.
And we need to be cognizant of that, to not fall for the shiny objectism and stay focused on what matters. And it's relative to the people who are observing the activity. Does it matter to you, Harvey Kay, that every single Democratic senator condemned Trump's pardoning of the January 6th insurrectionists?
Yeah, it is amazing to me that there weren't more Republicans willing to join.
More or any? Or any? Zero. Yeah. Man, they're all.
It was zero. It was absolutely zero.
There are no senators, Republican senators, no.
I had this fantasy that the former head of the former heads of these parties would. Well, there are Republicans around the country, but not where it's important that could sign up for that vote, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
No, horrific. Absolutely horrific. By the way, and let's be clear about what that implies, those pardons. He's released these folks who stormed the Capitol, invaded the inner sanctums of the Capitol, and threaten to hang the vice president of the day, who was a very conservative Republican.
He's still a Republican.
Sorry. Yes, indeed.
I mean, I'm telling you, Harvey, if I may interject, if I'm a member of a party and they all want to hang me.
You sticking around?
I think I'm going to start another party, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go there, man.
That, yeah.
What?
Right. I don't want to belong to any party that doesn't that wants to hang me. How's that for? Right.
That's such a low bar. My God.
Right.
Folks are listening to the Diamonds.
I was going somewhere with that. Sorry.
All right, go ahead.
I was going somewhere with that. The point I was trying to get to is the fact that that's the creation of what in Italy were black shirts and in Nazi Germany, brown shirts. That's how you make this paramilitary force out there representing a threat. And let's not forget that vast numbers of people actually didn't get to vote in some places in this country because there was coercion used against them to vote. Greg Palast, a journalist, has a strong point to make that, in fact, those kinds of activities might well have cost Harris key votes in states.
Yeah, Greg's been on the show in the past, and, you know, you take 10,000 here, 50,000 there, a few thousand there, add them all up over on voter suppression. Yeah, that can certainly have an impact on the result, and that's kind of the point. It's always pressure, Harvey. I mean, that is the concern that we have. Are you satisfied with what we've seen so far? Right, coming out of the Democratic Party is a pushback against this administration.
No, because we still do not have a real, if you like, core of leaders who are speaking on behalf of the Democratic Party. Okay, I don't think Schumer and Jeffries are dynamic enough, determined enough, and some of the remarks they've made I find absolutely upsetting. Okay, and
you know, no. Now, see, I think Schumer is a little softer than Jeffries. I think Jeffries got some can be dynamic if he chooses to be. What do you remember specifically what Jeffries? I'm sorry.
Well, there was something about it was something about, you know, placing our hope in God. It was something along
those
lines.
That was Jeffries. Yeah, you texted to me, man.
That was Jeffries.
That was Jeffries. Come on, Jeffries.
I don't mind it. I mean, you know, freedom of worship. But don't presume that God is going to intervene, or otherwise Trump wouldn't have won.
Yeah, maybe the devil intervened, Harvey K. Here's what Hakeem Jeffries, at Rep. Jeffries, tweeted out. Presidents come and presidents go through it all. God is still on the throne. And my buddy's comment was, hell of a strategy. That's not a strategy. I mean, sure, but what are you going to do about it? Doesn't God help those who help themselves? Harvey, come back with us. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. We'll get to some of your calls as well. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy, our favorite Delano Democrat, with me today. Go ahead, Harvey.
Jess, you hear me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do me a favor. Whatever that song was, send me a
you
link
got
to
it. That was Teenage Anarchist by Against Me.
Oh, I gotta put that on my Spotify.
I'm like, I'm a middle-aged anarchist.
It doesn't have quite the same
ring.
I wish I could call myself middle-aged, but I've never called myself an anarchist. But I love the Chumbawamba. I mean, they were anarchists, are anarchists. No, I loved you. I used to love it when they played Chumbawamba's "You Can Knock Me Down," whatever.
Yeah.
At Lambeau Field.
Right. You know, you were listening to. We're listening to Harvey K. once again. He's a professor emeritus of democracy. We still love democracy in this country, right? Right? From the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. I got some callers going to get to you as well. 855-752-4842. Our pal from the leftist coast, L.A. Tom, you are up. Happy Monday, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, happy Monday, Dom. Harvey, I want to ask you, how is it that we can get two questions? One, how is it that we can get more people calling up and we can actually develop a strategy with all our senators and representatives on the Democratic side to say, I am a proud Franklin Delano Roosevelt Democrat? That's my first question. And my second question is, how do we get these politicians to stop saying, I don't take money from lobbyists, I don't meet with lobbyists, like AOC says, why don't they just say, I want to fight to get money out of politics? I want to fight to get lobbyists out of politics. I would have a much more pleasurable message and going towards those people if they just said they want to get money out of politics. Even if they take it right now, I'd rather them say, I want to get money out of politics and do it that way rather than I don't take lobbyist or corporate money. It just doesn't really seem to do anything to people.
All right, great questions, Tom. Thanks for calling, Harvard. What do you think?
I'll start with your second question, Tom. I would love to see controls on the monies in politics. It would be great to have public elections, but our opportunity to get that kind of change passed us by. There wasn't a moment when you had the likes, say, of McCain and Feingold working together to control those kinds of, you know, resources polluting our politics. I don't see that happening now. But to go back to your first question about how do we get more people saying, I am an FDR Democrat? Well, I would love that. I wish we could have had Bernie saying that.
Yes.
The two times that he ran. I think that he would have actually found himself even more votes had he done so, because people might well have run from his democratic socialist language. The only thing I would tell you is that, and maybe this is not going to happen as much because we're supposedly moving out of the woke era, right? There are a lot of people who don't want to say FDR Democrat because it conjures up images of the days of still of segregation, or it conjures up the image of the internment of the Japanese Americans. I mean, there are reasons people do not want to use the term FDR Democrat. Having said that, I mean, I'd be more than happy to call myself a New Deal Democrat, or something like that. But I'm more than happy also to say FDR Democrat, because to my mind, if I can just, I sent this to you as well, Dom. FDR said very clearly in the introduction to his volume 1938 volume of public papers, I have always believed that, and I frequently have stated that, the Democrats can succeed at the polls only so long as it continues to be the party of militant liberalism. And what did he mean by that? It is clearly, if you look closely at other things he said and at the policies and legislation he pursued, it means social democracy, okay? Not simply liberalism. Though liberalism itself is unfortunate, it's taken on the lack of it's actually lost its aura. But that I think is essential for us to be talking in those terms. Yes, Tom.
855-752-4842. You know, the fact, the money in the politics thing. A few things. The lobbyists. I think we have the right to address our government, right? I mean, if I have a problem with X, Y, or Z, I can go to my legislator and lobby for changes, right? That is the action. Now, there are paid lobbyists, got that, understand that, would put, you know, do that for different organizations. I think that's appropriate. I think that is, you know, there could be a group of labor, you know, hey, we represent a lot of labor. We want, you know, these kinds of changes made to the laws and you know, whatever the case may be, we have the right to redress or address the government as a matter of our constitution. So I think that's okay. Now, the big problem is not the lobbying, not the asking, right? It's the the delivering of the money, that becomes a bigger problem. But wouldn't the value be, you know, really, hey, I can deliver these votes? You know, shouldn't you be able to persuade, if you're going to be a lobby for a position, to say, here's our position, here's why we want it, and here's the folks that are going to come along in this manner to push this, and if you support that, they will support you. Right? Is that like old-fashioned to me, or is it all about just, you know, money in a duffel bag, Harvey?
Yes, that is old-fashioned of me. But being old-fashioned is okay by me. I may be a radical, but I'm a radical in an old-fashioned way. I'm not a reactionary. Let's get that clear. Let's not lose touch with that word, reactionary, as opposed to radical. Radical was progressive. Reactionary really did want to go back to the kinds of things Trump would love to drag us back to.
But to your point on radical militant liberalism. I want to dive into that a little bit more on the other side. You're a smart guy, man. How does that pertain to today's environment in today's language? If things kind of change over time, as you mentioned, I want to get a better handle on that. And folks, we want to hear from you as well. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey, on the other side as well, I want to get your take on how Donald Trump is seemingly taking a regular day's work and making a big deal out of it. 855-75-CIVIC. Come back with us.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey K., Professor of American Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining me up until the 6 o'clock hour. You can join us as well, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey, as we went to break, you had quoted something you texted me earlier this week, I guess it was just yesterday, regarding FDR. Quote, "I have always believed that, and I frequently have stated, that my own party, being the Democrats, can succeed at the polls only so long as it continues to be the party of militant liberalism," quote unquote. Militant liberalism, man, it sounds like a lot of marching and getting up early and wearing boots, Harvey. I don't know about that. So what does that mean to you, and how does it pertain to today?
Okay. Something that we don't often hear about FDR is the degree to which he really was trying to, in quotes, overthrow the Gilded Age that had begun in the late 19th century and had been under assault by the capital P progressive movement, both of Republicans and Democrats, in the first part of the century. However, after World War I, the Gilded Age ruling class, the corporate bosses, what he actually called the titans of industry, FDR called them the titans of industry, who he said had basically captured control of too much of American life. When he was running for office in 1932, he gave a talk at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco, which is a rather elite venue to speak in. And he laid out a sort of thumbnail history of the United States, in which he said, look, we were founded with a promise made in the Declaration of Independence. But in our eagerness for economic and industrial development, we've allowed these industrial titans to usurp, to take over the powers that should belong to the people. And basically, I'm paraphrasing, stomp on the rights of Americans. So he actually called for, in that address at the Commonwealth Club, a new declaration. He called it an economic declaration of rights. And you've heard me talk about an economic bill of rights. If you look at FDR's 12-year presidency, it really was constantly this effort to enhance the small d democratic rights that Americans possessed. And he rooted those rights in the Declaration, in the idea of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And he said, look, what does it take to live? And what does it take? I mean, you could talk life, right? Okay. But what does it take to live? Okay. Food, clothing, and shelter at a minimum. But as, you know, as America advanced, the needs increased, but the availability of the resources for working people did not always increase or were not always enhanced. What does liberty demand? Well, as he said very clearly on several occasions, a poor man is not a free man. Okay. Freedom requires capacities. You need to be enabled so that a certain kind of income, a certain kind of living is essential. So life and liberty are essential. And the pursuit of happiness, well, how the hell are you going to be able to pursue happiness
right,
if you don't have the wherewithal to do it? So to his mind, you had to take life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as a fundamental idea of the American promise and ask what is required in this day in which we live. And thus he called for an economic declaration of rights for the forgotten man, those who had been left out of the Gilded Age power structure. So to him, militant liberalism was a pursuit of a politics that would both afford working people what they would need for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and empower them to secure it at the same time for themselves, which meant ultimately empowering them with the right to organize as a labor movement, empowering housewives in the 1930s to be able to stand up to businesses that were price gouging, even in the midst of the recovery from the Depression. So militant liberalism is a politics that enables and empowers working people. I have little doubt when I say that that's what he had in mind.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salve Show. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And that's what I was looking for, Professor, and thank you for that. Now, it seems like we're kind of right there again, man. You know, I mean, when you talk about the titans of industry having too much control, and I see, you know, Trump's billionaire cabinet.
and,
you know, so do you think that we are essentially back in that space, or did we ever leave?
Well, in fact, this is interesting. Between the 1930s New Deal years and the early 1970s, there was a significant enabling of people and a significant empowerment of people. Now, what I mean by that, for a start, even though the rich got richer in the course of the 40s and the 50s and into the 60s, so too did working people. And inequality actually decreased from about 1938 to about 1973, perhaps. But as I've said before here, in the early 70s, the corporate bosses, not unlike they tried to do to FDR, but failed in the 30s, the corporate bosses organized because they were afraid that the social movements of the 1960s and the persistent strength of the labor movement was going to weaken their capacity to operate as capitalists. It was already underway, the regulations, the taxation, and all of that. There were interviews done. This is fascinating to me. Major figures at the New York Times and elsewhere were interviewing corporate leaders and asking them, you know, what do you see as the fundamental problems in America today? And there were those who said the fundamental problem is democracy. They had come to believe that democracy and capitalism could not coexist. And by the way, I would love to ask that question of Elon Musk today, okay, bluntly. I think he's made it fairly apparently clear as to what he thinks is essential. I just, you know, can't get over the fact that we have forgotten the degree to which from the early 70s to the present day, the corporate elite has sought to create, and we've called it the second Gilded Age already. In fact, if things go as Trump and his team of billionaires seem to want it to go, we'll enter not just a worse form of the Gilded Age. We probably call it the golden age.
It's the golden age is what he's referring it to now, Harvey.
So is he going to invite everyone up to his golden apartment in Trump
Tower?
Yeah,
man, they're already, you know, the whole Mega's meeting down at Mar-a-Lago to figure out their one big beautiful bill. You got his treasury pick saying, number one, we don't need to raise the minimum wage, and number two, the biggest crisis facing America is the expiration of the Trump tax cuts. Oh yeah, by the way, he's a billionaire. You know, so we're right back. I mean, whatever was going on with FDR, yes, that it's right here, right now. And if I'm hearing you right, Harvey, it was the enabling and empowerment of everyday voters seeking their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness that pushed back, that enabled this to claw some of the resources and wealth back from the top 1% of the 1%, as Bernie Sanders would say. What does that mean today? The enabling and the empowerment to pursue the life, liberty, and happiness. How does that translate to today's action, in your opinion?
Well, for a start, it was in, I got to get my years right here.
A lot of years, man. Yeah.
So the first time Obama was elected was 2008, right?
Yes. Sounds
that's
right.
That's when the labor movement had requested the Employee Free Choice Act. And the idea of the Employee Free Choice Act was to make labor organizing possible in places where it had been blocked, and also to make it easier getting workers to sign on as opposed to their fear of the employer.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Obama did nothing to pursue that. Nothing. And keep in mind, in that first year, the Democrats had, what was it, a veto-proof majority. In that first year,
yeah,
did nothing.
Yeah.
Then, and so ever since then, the Democrats have talked about doing something about it, but they haven't fought to make it possible. And of course, their control over Congress is nothing like it was at various times in the past. So that's one thing. Another thing is that, as you've seen me argue many times, and I've written articles about it, and even produced a comic strip with Matt Strackbein, the letter hack. Democracy, if we're going to save it, we need an economic bill of rights. The majority of Americans want an economic bill of rights. When will the Democrats come out and declare themselves in pursuit of an economic bill of rights? Hell, FDR started with that as an idea and closed on that with an idea. And although he didn't pursue he knew he couldn't get it, you know, by 1944, but along the way, he created the kinds of legislative enactments that basically began to enable and empower Americans in favor of then pursuing the formal economic Bill of Rights.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Let's get some callers in. Wisco, Paul, you will be next. Welcome. Happy Monday, Paulie. What do you got for us?
Thanks for taking my call. It's a little concerning to me. I think it was today that the president signed an executive order to ditch the Inflation Reduction Act, which has a lot of things in it for seniors, for drugs cost, and several other really good things in it, and also to get rid of the infrastructure bill. And this was bipartisan. Now, he signed an executive order, and what I'm learning so far, no Republicans are going to stand up against this. So I ask you, with everything that's went on up to this point, the defense sector, well, I don't want to get too far off the track here. It doesn't seem to me there's anybody that's going to stand up against anything this man does. At least it's for sure not going to happen in a Republican Party, and they control all levers of government. But this is a big deal to sign an executive order on two things that help out the middle class, the people he said he was going to help. So I just like to ask Harvey, I don't know this, how this could even be possible. Why anybody would even want to do this? It's just, I'm beside myself. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Polly, of course. Harvey, what are your thoughts?
Well, obviously, why do they want to do it? Because they want to be able to turn around and pass or sustain the Trump tax cuts. Okay, I mean, the guy sitting behind him in the rotunda at his inauguration, folks like that, they're they're like Trump whisperers. You know, they're horse whisperers, and they're probably whispering in his ear, don't forget the tax cuts, the $1 trillion tax cuts. Okay. I could take it up a little more.
I get that. Harvey, what about
but let me just add one thing. And the one thing I want to add is this. These are the kinds of things that at least the Democrats should be now raising. There ought to be TV ads, billboards. There ought to be a way for the Democrats to say, we believe that if we could take back the House and the Senate, okay, in 2026, we can start restoring America. We can start taking back America. They have to start campaigning for 2026.
But don't they have to define what that does for the American people? Look, I mean, Donald Trump ran and won on the economics, and Donald Trump hasn't done squat in the first week to address the price of eggs
he's almost certainly made them more expensive.
He's certainly made the coffee more expensive, given the Columbia kerfuffle, I'll call it, Harvey. And come back with us, 855-752-4842. My question and concern is the knowledge base of the American people. Number one, paying attention, you know, and it's hard to fight when you're barely getting by, you know, and to be able to articulate and specify what, if you put us in power and give us these controls, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. Well, we saw Obama go to power, and he didn't exercise those kinds of powers that he seemingly promised. There are a lot of disappointed Obama voters as well. So I'm concerned about the wherewithal of the American people to digest history, number one, and to you know, filter through the fire hose of issues and events that just constantly barrage us. We're going to constantly barrage you. Come back with us one last second. Tell us something good. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salve Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 855-752-4842. Love it when you tell us something good in this segment. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Before we get to the Tell Me Something Good segment, Harvey, your thoughts on us. You know, on us as a society and our ability to digest and wean out and govern ourselves rationally, man.
Well, I remain a romantic. I continue to believe that Americans deep down carry with them this ideal of what it means to be American, which literally, if properly engaged, would reject the likes of Trump and MAGA.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I got tattoos on my arm that say that. Life, liberty, and my existence. Me, I am the pursuit of that happiness that I seek, and people shouldn't be able to. I mean, that we've got to protect those, you know, that right of life, liberty, and happiness. And I feel like we're not necessarily handing the power, but our lack of engagement, you know, someone else fills the void, man. And usually, unfortunately, it's billionaires and folks that are cashing those checks doing that. 855-752-4842. Thoughts on that, Harvey?
And you are, and I have to tell you, I've done a lot of radio shows over the many years. You are, without a doubt, the most uplifting voice.
Oh, Harvey! That's, you know what? My something good for the day, a wonderful compliment from my friend Harvey. Thank you, man. It means a lot. Coming from an old cat like you, been around, man. I appreciate that. How about you, Jess? You got anything good you want to share?
Yeah. This weekend, I went dancing with my husband. The world was scary, and we needed to dance. So that was something good, being surrounded by people who were also feeling all of the things.
The things.
And decided to come together and dance about it. That's my something good.
And I want to do a little plug here. Mad Planet?
Mad Planet.
Yeah. I love Mad Planet. River West, Milwaukee. Oh, check it out.
It is a place removed from time.
It really is. It really is. Mm-hmm. Was there, sometimes they do contests like, you know, Michael Jackson versus Prince.
No. It was just
like,
a
dance off.
Just a dance off, open requests. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Good for you. That's awesome. Yeah. 855-752-4842. Northwoods Terry. Oh, go ahead, Harvey.
I was going to say, what I said to you was not my planned good
no,
thing.
No, I get that, but I'll take it, man.
But I do want to say, before we leave today, I have something very important, that two items that are really good.
Oh, you big tease. All right, Nora, Terry, you are next. Harvey's going to hold off to the end. Welcome, Terry. What do you got for us?
Well, that second football game yesterday was really good.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Well, and I guess I'm okay with the Chiefs advancing with Taylor Swift and her bull, Travis.
Yeah, the brothers. Yep. The other one's the announcer now. Yeah. I was entertained, Terry.
Yes. Second thing I got, can I get serious for a second?
Sure, go ahead.
Five presidents that helped the middle class. I just read this article yesterday in between football games. The five were JFK, LBJ, Clinton, Eisenhower, and my brain went blank here.
How about FDR? Was FDR?
There it is.
There.
Yeah. The obvious one. Thanks, Dom.
Hey, Harvey. All right. Thank you, Terry. Harvey, you got to love that. Lori, also from the Northwoods. Northwoods listeners. Thank you, Lori. Welcome. Tell us something good.
My something good is that even though Trump is trying to do away with drug policies that Biden has put in place, the new medications that Medicare has agreed to pay for this year cannot be taken away from people if they have insurance that has started the first of the year and covers that. They are safe for those drugs until the end of the year, until the beginning of next year. That's my good news for people.
All right, Lori, I was unaware. Thank you for enlightening me and the audience. 855-752-4842. Okay, Harvey, I want to give you some time. I know you got a couple. Lay it on us, brother.
Okay, this is a joint one. Okay, as you already have figured out, I'm sure, my historical heroes are Thomas Paine of the American Revolution and Franklin Roosevelt of the 20th century. These are my political heroes. This week, every year, is a big week for me. This Wednesday, January 29th, is Thomas Paine's birthday.
Nice.
This Thursday, January 30th, is FDR's birthday. So I get to celebrate not mine, but Thomas Paine and FDR's birthday back to back.
Nice.
What do you do to celebrate those birthdays?
Ask, good question. What do you do, Harvey?
I haven't. This Wednesday, we're going to probably have sushi in honor of Thomas Paine. And on Thursday, my
How
good
is
buddy
sushi
John
in honor of Thomas Paine?
Yeah, well, he probably never tasted sushi, but he probably did eat raw fish somewhere along the way. And then on Thursday, my really best buddy up here in Green Bay, John Shelton, the labor historian, vice president of the American Federation of Teachers here in the state, he and I will go for our drinks on Thursday late in the day and celebrate FDR's memory and legacy.
Oh, most excellent. Will those be adult beverages? And what's your poison if you pick one, Harvey?
We used to go for beers, and then I decided that there was too many carbs there. So we will drink bourbon.
A little bourbon, my
straight
man.
Straight bourbon? All right.
Harvey K, thank you so much, man. It's always a pleasure. I mean it to hang out with you and have these conversations. Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Thank you, Just PS, for all that you do. Thank you to our callers, our audience. Thanks for hanging out with us. Now stick around. Pete Schwabba Nightlight is coming up next. And don't forget, tomorrow it'll be Overtime with Maggie Dawn. Tune in. Thanks, Harvey.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.